Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
That was a good one.
This is my best Tigger.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 72. Tom, I've got a lot of news.
You do?
A lot of news today.
How many armloads of news?
I'd say if you had to try and carry them all, you'd be going on a couple of trips.
You could Vishnu it.
I was just worried, like, if you try and carry too much, it, like, want to fall off and shatter on the ground.
Oh, why can't I hold all these limes?
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, a bit dangerous. Mm. And, oh, a fun quiz.
A fun one?
Yeah, I think this one's easy enough for you to get, but hopefully will make us talk about some stuff.
Chatter.
Yeah, a bit of banter. Mm. That's what it's all about. Mm. And we will be talking about the season finale of The Walking Dead behind the spoiler section. It will be the last thing we do in this podcast.
Yes.
By hook or by crook. Did your grandfather ever say that? By hook or by crook.
No, but I have heard this saying before. I think in Guy Ritchie films.
Yeah.
Feels like the sort of thing.
Yeah, a bit of Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Yeah. There'd be somebody saying by hook
bit
or by
snatch,
crook.
Bit of
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hook or by crook, dog.
You know.
Da.
You know, go.
You want da.
It'd be, oh, what's his name?
Jason Statham?
No. Oh, from Press Gang. Spike.
Dexter Fletcher?
Yeah, Dexter Fletcher. Mm. Thank you very much. I couldn't remember what his real name was and what the character's name was, but thank you very much for helping.
That's all right. He's directing the Elton John movie.
I suppose if you, like,
it's looking
people
good.
Are saying.
I am here for it. I'm going to be all over that when it comes out.
What are they calling it? Do you know?
Has Rocket
it
got Man.
A nice.
It's Taron Egerton and Richard Madden has a big role in it as well. Apparently they make out a bit. Ooh, saucy.
Why would that be in an Elton John? It doesn't make any sense. Biopic. Really bizarre.
Mm.
I want to talk about A Quiet Place.
Again?
Differently.
So, I want to talk about A Quiet Place too.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Wait, do you mean 200 or 2...
Oh, 2W.
Both work.
Yeah, they do.
Let's just talk about A Quiet Place and stop with the shenanigans.
All right. So we knew that they were going to make a sequel.
Mm.
That was announced ages ago.
Yes.
I feel like 3 seconds after the movie came out, they said, oh, by the way, we're making another one.
Pretty much.
So it made $340 million.
Which is a lot.
How much? It was about $20 million to make.
Cheap.
It was around the same amount that Us was made for.
Mm-hmm.
And just made a killing. So it's supposed to come out in 2020, May, I think. And they have announced a new cast member.
I heard someone who... He's scared, Batman.
His eyes are creepy. Cillian Murphy we're talking about.
Is it Cillian or Cillian?
Well, see, we both know someone whose last name is Cillian.
Mm-hmm.
And he pronounces it Cillian.
But that's with a K.
Oh, it is with a K.
And I know someone whose name Cillian and that's with a K. But I think with a C, it's Cillian.
So Cillian?
Yeah, not Sicilian.
No, it's certainly not.
Just, I think it's Cillian Murphy.
Irish bloke.
Let's call him Silly Murphy.
Okay, Silly Murphy will be in the sequel of A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Another Quiet Place, or The Place Continues to Be Quiet?
Call it A Quieter Place. That's what we're all after.
I'm happy with that. So they haven't given us too much info.
No.
About who his character is, but he does seem like he's going to be a bit sinister because... The quote I got was, he will play a man with mysterious intentions who joins the family unit.
You do not cast him unless you want someone that has an ulterior motive.
That's
always his thing. There's always something going on behind those eyes, as you say, those spooky eyes.
It started to make me think it could go several ways, but the two main ways this kind of storyline with a character like that could go, he's either a bad guy who turns out to be okay,
mm-hmm.
or a good guy who turns out to be bad.
Yes. Well, you've seen it and consider this a spoiler warning, but the film ends with her loading... The shotgun.
Yeah, the shotgun, yeah.
And she's just discovered how to hurt him.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
If she's got that information, perhaps he's a scientist
mm-hmm.
who's coming along trying to get this information to use elsewhere.
Do you think that they've gone outside of their farmhouse, their country house?
She got baby. I don't see him going far.
Yeah, that's true.
But it'll depend on how long after the first
movie
picks up.
Yeah, it might be a bit of a time jump. Not sure. the baby thing is a, it's like The Walking Dead. The baby aspect is very dangerous.
Yeah.
In that world.
I could see, well, I hope at some point they go past a body, maybe even get her on board, but get Sandra Bullock to lay on the ground with a blindfold on. Just dead on the ground.
Yes.
Why not?
I got mixed up, sorry. If they do that, that is one of the world's greatest cameos.
Yeah.
And you know Sandra Bullock would say yes to that.
Well, what would you call that? The DCU, the disadvantaged cinematic universe, or the...
Well, it's got something to do with people's...
What's the opposite
senses?
Of extrasensory?
A depleted amount of senses? Extra... Hmm.
Maybe it's like the SDCU, the Sensory Denial Cinematic Universe.
I like that.
We could put... Yeah, those ones. And there was that movie a while ago with Julianna Moore, where she was blind with Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, gee.
That's going back a bit. I think that was one of those films very much in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. If you'd see anything.
I like that movie because she could see.
Yes.
Julianne Moore could see. Oh, I can't remember what it was called. The scene where they, if you know the movie, you know the movie that we're talking about, where everybody goes blind except for Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
And the scene where they're in the supermarket, I just remember that was so stressful to watch. That's a great movie. I'd watch that again. So that's all we know about A Quiet Place 2, or The Quieter Place.
John Krasinski is directing again, directing his wife in the film. Apparently they've got the two children signed back on as well.
That was one thing I was wondering. Okay, so if they do have the two children, that indicates that the time jump can't be too huge. Although they are kids who will have sudden growth spurts, won't they?
Yeah, but I think if they're in production soon, then it'll be within 2 years of the last one coming out. The older sister was meant to be...
Teenager?
14, 15, somewhere around there. That. So, I don't know. I think they can make it work. I got hope.
Okay.
They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else have you found in the newsworthy world?
There's a reboot coming, as they are, as they constantly are. But
this is all they ever do.
This one, I'm not sure what tone it's going to take, because Blue's Clues is coming back. Blue's Clues are new.
Isn't it weird that Blue's Clues went away in the first place?
Oh, Steve got busy.
Yeah, but couldn't they replace him? You know what
no.
I mean? Like, oh, come on.
Well, this new one, they've got a new Steve.
Okay.
And old Steve has popped up to give his bit of endorsement.
His thumbs up from Steve.
Well, I can't remember. I should have written it down. I can't remember the new host's name, but one of the announcement photos they put out actually had old Steve peeking through the door. In the back of the shot, like giving a thumbs up of this new guy.
That's nice.
Steve don't look like Steve anymore. I don't think he's worn a rugby jersey in many, many years. He's distanced himself. He's bald. He's got a moustache and glasses.
Really, he's bald now.
Yeah, he's a muso.
I just think that this is merely a pop-up for parents, because kids who will be watching this show will have no idea who he is, because I doubt they would have watched it before.
That's right. So I don't think old Steve is involved much at all. Blue is CGI now rather than the old flat 2D cardboard cutout.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those shows, it was really good.
Yeah.
I was a bit old for it, obviously, but my younger brothers were really into it and I watched plenty of them, and I don't know. I think that's a good one for Nickelodeon to bring back.
Aww.
Bloody detectives. Dog detectives. World needs more of them.
Dogs are so good at solving things. Hello, Scooby.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of remakes, did you see what Mark Hamill signed up to do?
That was next on my list.
What do you reckon? Okay, well, firstly, explain what it is. It's another reboot.
So there's a reboot coming of Child's Play.
So this movie was made in the 80s, maybe late 80s, something like that, would you say?
This is with Chucky the Killer Doll.
It was made after sort of your poltergeisty early...
Yes, it was late
Nightmare
80s.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Look, it was very much spinning out of both Gremlins and Nightmare on Elm Street of the comedic take on horror.
Yeah.
And... very, very dark take. Chucky is not a good character at all. He's pretty awful, and I still have flashbacks to being young and watching those far too young.
He's quite murdery for a doll.
Yes, but the first few are very straight out horror. And then around with, I'll say, Bride of Chucky, which is where Jennifer Tilly came in, and she was in a doll for some of it, and some of it she's not.
She's got such a recognisable voice, doesn't she?
Uh-huh. Well, once she was in the mix, that came out, I think, the year after Scream. And that's when the franchise changed directions to go a lot more satire.
98-ish?
Yeah, Scream was, I want to say, 98. And then Bride of Chucky, I think, was either 99 or 2000, somewhere around there. But it changed the direction and the tone of the series. And they went a lot more satire from there on out. And were really funny. And there's still been more installments coming out of the last few years.
Really?
And the director's still involved and this sort of stuff. And he's telling his saga. But the rights are owned by other people who are rebooting this without his thumbs up.
And they've got some pretty big names on board. Like we said, Mark Hamill, he has been announced as the voice of Chucky.
Which is odd because, like, I'm really for it because if his voice is anything like the Joker one he does for animated Batman, it would be amazing. But the guy that voices Chucky, Brad Dourif, has been Chucky forever, since the very beginning. Every appearance, it's been him. And you might know him better as, oh my God, I've forgotten his name, but what's the really pale guy from the Lord of the Rings films who, Wormtongue, that's his name.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's the sniveling guy who's whispering in King Ear, I want to say his ear. Yeah, Wormtongue.
That's him. I had no idea.
Voice of Chucky. Huh. You've seen Brad Dourif in so many things.
Yeah.
He's a full-on proper character actor.
Wow.
He's in stuff all the time. But he's
When little connections like that are made.
Yeah, he's just got such a great voice for Chucky that he doesn't use anywhere else. So unless someone tells you that connection, there's no way you'd ever make that connection.
And because Chucky's voice is so iconic, now how is Mark Hamill going to do it? Is he going to try and recreate it? Is he going to try and make a Chucky of his own? I mean, you would assume that's what I'm guessing that's what they would want. If they're doing a remake, they haven't picked the original Chucky, they've gone for a big name actor or voice actor, he's going to make it his own, right?
I think he'll take a lot of cues from what Chucky was and they'll be the same. It really depends on where Chucky is set and so what accent he gets there, because if he is the spirit of a European, then he'll have some sort of accent in there. If he is a Boston guy or whatever, then that'll be whatever Mark Hamill decides to channel. And I think he'll take elements of how Chucky sounded before. But I don't know, I've seen Hamill do so many cool voices that I can't see him not putting his own spin on it.
Yeah, yeah. Aubrey Plaza will be playing the mother.
Mm-hmm.
If I only knew her from Parks and Recreation, I'd be like, oh, okay. But there's been enough time between though that and this that I can see her doing something like this.
For sure.
Particularly after seeing her in Legion.
Yeah.
That's sort of...
And I want to say, Mike and Dave need wedding dates.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Okay. That was fine.
That'll be why then.
Yeah, the wrong gender. It's not aimed at you, really.
Yeah. That movie comes out the end of June. 21st, I think.
Not long.
So I'm surprised it's taken us that long to know that Mark Hamill's a part of it. I guess it's part of the publicity.
And they would have done all the character animation without any voice yet and just had a... You know, the holding voice.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, your Jar Jar Binks.
Hey, Zolta, I want my money back. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
You know who's been missing from our lives for quite some time?
Who?
Someone who was a big part of our lives for a long time and they're now thankfully coming back. Joe Frost, a.k.a. the Super Nanny. Super Nanny's getting a new series on Lifetime.
I literally saw a meme of her this morning and went, that show was ages ago now. Yeah. And then you've just, amazing.
Well, she was still doing I think it was called Nanny on the Road or Nanny on Tour or something up until about 2016.
That's not acceptable.
No, she did several series for the Super Nanny in the UK. She did a few of Super Nanny US.
Mm.
She's taking a bit of time off, coming back.
Coming back to do what she does best.
Bloody tell children no.
And get on that timeout chair.
She loves a bit of timeout chair.
What was her rule? It was for the, so say if the kid was 3, it was 3 minutes timeout.
Yep.
If you were 12, you got 12 minutes timeout.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Have a sit and have a think. There's no further news to it. It's just, she's come back.
That's what she's doing.
Stop. Set your watch. It's a bloody exciting.
Set your watch. It's nanny time.
Mm.
Hey, did you watch the Fear the Walking Dead trailer?
I did.
Oh.
Bombastic.
3 minutes long it was.
Yeah, there were some big moments.
Huge moments. I guess we could probably talk about them because there's no use putting it anywhere inside of a spoiler because it's right out
Don't
there for
to
everyone
be.
To see.
Yeah, everyone's seen.
Dwight.
Huge.
I think you guessed that.
I did.
A while ago, yeah. But we also got the return of a guy. If you were, I don't think he had a shotgun. I think it was a rifle. But anyway, we saw Salazar?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think it was a rifle. Salazar, the bloody cockroach who won't die.
Not happy with Strand.
Never is. I do like that they keep having him disappear for a season at a time and then come back for a few episodes, act like a crazy person,
and
seemingly
then wander
die.
Off again. Yeah. I'm going off to die now. I'll be back in two seasons' time.
Oh, man, this fire's hot. Hang on, I'm going to craft services. In reality, he just goes off to play with his band because he's a big-name musician.
Very talented.
Ruben Blades. What a name.
It's a great name, isn't it? He must wear some pretty cool shirts. Those sort of 1960s shirts that, you know, people in Mad Men would have wore when they were out.
Are we talking like a
short sleeve shirt?
Tommy Bahama.
Yeah. That kind of thing. I reckon he'd wear a lot of those when he was performing.
Maybe he's friends with Jimmy Buffett.
He'd be perfect. Those two could do a duo. That'd be cool, duet, I mean. Oh, look, we also saw a cat.
We did see a cat.
Like, Daryl's got a dog in The Walking Dead.
Yep.
Now there's a ginger cat there. I'm just saying right now, if there's any harm that comes to that cat, I'm going, I will riot.
You're concerned about puss?
Yes. I don't like when animals come onto shows like this. It's not good.
You're concerned?
Yeah, very concerned. Although the dog's managed to last this long, so I have a little bit of hope.
Yeah, the cat will be fine because the cat doesn't give a fuck what's going on. The dog will come and try and save people in danger. The cat will be like,
it's getting out of
I'll
here.
Find someone else to feed me. Bye.
Bye, I'm out of here. Yeah. And Luciana wants to play an accordion.
That was a nice weird segue in the middle.
I loved it.
Cool.
When do I get to play the accordion?
You play accordion?
3 minutes worth gave you a lot of different tones, highs, lows, showed everybody we needed to see. We got to see new people. They look like they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kid Town, which makes us worried after the kids that Michonne met with the Pied Piper of Friends Past. Are these kids Pied Piper-ish? You know, is there weird stuff happening? Are they just going to go, we're going to fix you kids? And the kids are like, nah, we're fine.
We're good.
And they'll go, all right, we're going to leave in our trucks.
Bye.
Bye. I liked it. I thought the trailer was really fun. It got me hyped for it. It told us a date. 2nd of June we'll be watching.
What's that, 2 months?
Yeah, so I guess that's almost the moment we finish with Game of Thrones.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Look, for me it was all about Dwight. You knew I was suspecting it. If you have someone wander off, they've either got to show up later on the show or there's got to be some explanation.
And not to be mentioned on the other one.
That's
but
right.
Of course, now this is, you know, this has brought the Heath aspect up for me.
Sure. But I suspected that something to do with Dwight was coming anyway because I think it was last week on Ride with Norman Reedus, Austin Emilio was the guest.
Okay.
And it was hilarious because I think they only went riding for 2 days and at the beginning of day one he was clean shaven. By the end of day two he had a moustache.
You're like, wow, how'd that happen?
No, like dude's facial hair must just grow really quickly.
That'd be annoying.
It was two tops 3 days.
Yeah.
And he was back to being his scruffy Dwight.
Oh, poor Dwight. Yeah, look, it got me hyped. I'm excited to watch it now.
Yeah, bring it on.
Now I know that we've got Handmaids and we've got Fear the Walking Dead straight up after Game of Thrones. I think I'm going to be okay.
I need to sit down.
A little nana nap.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
All right, I got a coming and a going.
Yeah.
The coming is potentially, Space Jam 2.
No way.
Yeah, this has been coming for a while. LeBron.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So apparently, Sonequa Martin-Green, a.k.a. Sasha.
Yeah.
Who's now over on Star Trek Discovery.
Star Trek. Yep.
Apparently is in the lead to potentially play LeBron's wife.
Cool.
I don't think she'll be a female bunny.
No, they will have her as her. She's a big enough face and name. This is a sort of a side note, but I wonder how they're going to go with the original Space Jam website, which is still up.
Amazing, isn't
it? Please tell me that they're going to pop something on there to do with Space Jam 2. Or if they make a Space Jam 2 website, which they will, if they can recreate the old one.
Yeah.
I love the fact that that still exists.
I love, I love Space Jam. And Space Jam.
No.
Like, you tell the people.
Oh, if there's one thing you like more than Space Jam, what would it be? There's I know what it is. That other movie.
Goofy movie?
Yeah. That's the only thing you would love more than Space Jam.
I think I own 9 Space Jam shirts and 11 Goofy Movie shirts. I own no Goofy Movie socks. I own several Space Jam socks, but I own a Goofy Movie beanie.
Can you get a Space Jam cap? Do they still exist?
Oh, I got one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to get another one then.
Nah, it's Tasmanian Devil slamming the dunk, as they say.
So when can we expect some more news about Space Jam
2? Oh, it's been in development for a long time, and it's all just bits and pieces of news. Mm. But, yeah, they've got to draw the whole thing.
Yeah, of course. The whole thing. I hope they give it the old school look.
Mm, and I want a lot of Warner Brothers characters in there.
Oh, they'll put them all in, surely.
But, like, have all the Looney Tunes. But all I want in life is another Roger Rabbit, right? Like, so badly. I just want more of that mashed up world. And if I can't get that, give me at least a Warner Brothers expanded universe. You've got other characters you can get in there with the Looney Tunes.
Throw Roger in there.
Do some rights work out. Get a bit of Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, yes.
They wouldn't be allowed Roger because Roger's technically Disney.
Is he?
Not fully.
Was he always?
No. So he was a complete outsider character that was brought on. Uh-huh. And it's made by an independent studio. And so all of the different studios had say and put in for the film. But then after it was released, Disney did a ride. So they've got, what's it called? Roger Rabbit's Wild Taxi Ride or something like that.
Okay.
In, I think it's only in LA now, at Toontown. But yeah, there's some sort of rights bullshit.
God.
I could do a whole podcast on Roger Rabbit. Hey.
I remember some of it, like the complications and, yeah.
Oh, there's all these rules, like they... Anytime Bugs or Mickey were on screen, the other had to be on screen. They're only allowed the exact same amount of words. So you can go through and count their words and they both have the equal amount of words. When there's the piano, dueling piano battle between Donald and Daffy Duck, they each have the same amount of lines, all this sort of stuff. It's very, very technical, a lot of behind the scenes. And it's only because Spielberg was involved.
He's a big enough name to get it happening.
Well, they tried for years to get the ball rolling and studios wouldn't come to the table. And as soon as Steven Spielberg showed up, they were like, yeah, sure, okay. Do you want to use this one too and this one and this one? Work all of them in.
There's not many directors who could get that to happen.
No. So hopefully Space Jam 2 will get a bit more news.
Yeah, I'm
looking forward to it. In the next few months. Obviously, with March Madness kicking off at the moment, there's a lot more focus on the B-ball.
Mm,
and when there's more focus on the B-ball, it behooves them.
Behooves, nice use of the word.
I think it behooves them to educate and illuminate their plans for us further. Sorry, I just melded minds with someone far more mature than me.
Oh,
I'm back.
It hurt my brain. Ow. Hey, we're both really super excited about Dead Don't Die trailer.
Yeah, and I think we're coming at it from different angles of excitement. Would you like to go first?
I'm excited because I originally saw the names Bill Murray and Adam Driver in a movie, and then I realized it was a zombie movie, and then I saw all the other names involved, and I watched the trailer, and I went, this is the exact tone that I would like out of this. It's not Shaun of the Dead,
no,
but it's sort of, it's not the Walking Dead seriousness.
No.
It's far more fun. Probably even a little bit more fun than Zombieland.
I think it's going to be a very different type of comedy.
Mm.
It's directed by Jim Jarmusch. And that's all I needed to know to be excited.
See, I wasn't too aware of his name.
He's a beloved indie comedy director.
You're right.
Who?
Would I know his stuff?
You might have seen bits and pieces. My favourite work of his is called Coffee and Cigarettes, and it's a film.
Oh, I've heard of that.
A film that's maybe like 10 different scenes that are all, they're not really connected in any way, and they're just little moments and snapshots of people enjoying either coffee and or cigarettes. And there's one very famous scene where RZA and GZA from the Wu-Tang Clan sit down in a diner and their waiter is none other than Bill Murray, and they're convinced it's Bill Murray and he's trying to play it down.
Saying
they're like, my motherfucker Bill Murray. Motherfucking Bill Murray. Right here in this motherfucker diner, bring me a fuck coffee. It is fantastic. His stuff is very, very low-key. And, you know, you don't see too much slapstick, pratfall, any sort of generated comedy. Comedy comes from situations and downplaying things. So this is why it's such a weird dichotomy of having him direct a zombie film.
And it looks funny from what...
Yeah.
So you have Bill Murray, you have Adam Driver. They're both, it looks like they're cops.
Yes.
and their partners, and I think those two are going to be very funny as partner cops.
Yeah.
Judging by the trailer, I reckon they've got it right there. The magic is there between the two of them.
And Buscemi's in the mix. And yes. I even saw bloody Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah, was there. She's a cop too. Yep. Selena Gomez is there. Oh, I was excited because Tilda Swinton.
Scottish.
She's Scottish. She's got a samurai sword.
Knows how to fucking use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks like she's one of those people who's totally ready for the whole apocalypse to happen.
Sure.
She's just switches on.
And she's a wonderful emblem for what a Jim Jarmusch film could be.
He must have been so stoked he got Tilda.
Oh, and I reckon most of the people in the film, like Steve Buscemi, he would have just called up and said, hey, I'm doing a new movie. And he wouldn't have said what it is. Steve would have been, cool.
I'm coming on board.
Bill Murray would have been the same.
June 14th, that one comes out.
Not long. Yeah. They've really kept it quiet up until... it was only about 2 or 3 weeks ago that I was reading the first thing about it on Deadline.
And you were like, huh?
Yeah.
What's all that about?
This all sounds pretty good.
Go and check out the trailer. It's definitely worth watching.
The team's still tuning in for The Truman Show. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Any other news?
I'll give you one bit of news, one joke that I wrote that is rubbish, and one more trailer.
Perfect. What do you want to go first with?
So news. I know I seem to be talking about Arrow every week at the moment.
Well, if it's newsworthy, you got to talk about it.
Well, as we know, next season they're doing a shortened season of 8 episodes to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
But Emily Bett Ricards, who plays Felicity Smoke, the wife of the Arrow on the show, announced she's leaving at the end of this season.
Ooh.
And they started filming on the last episode yesterday, so that's why the news has come out. I don't know how this fits in, because we've currently got flash forwards 30 years from now where she's alive.
Okay. Could it be a Rick Grimes thing?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I honestly don't know. Like, maybe being the type of show it is, maybe she goes to visit Kara on Supergirl's planet and it's stuck over there until the big crossover happens at the end of this year.
I'll be back in 30 years, guys.
Well, that's what I mean. Maybe she's over somewhere else when Arrow Now timeline wraps up.
Mm.
Who knows?
All right. But so that's perplexing.
My bad joke.
Go for it.
So there's a lot of rumors going that we're going to see Gwyneth Paltrow in a superhero kit in Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
And I reckon that she should form a team of like female Avengers afterwards. There's precedent for this in the comics called A-Force, but she could lead a whole bunch of female superheroes and they could be called some sort of, I don't know, super goop. I'm not proud of that. I wrote it down and I was like, oh, I'm going to save that for the show.
They're all standing around with hot lemon water.
Oh, these avocados aren't depressed enough. Anyway, super goop. There you go. I wrote that down at like 3 a.m.
That wasn't bad, super goop.
It wasn't good either.
Look, I don't think all jokes have to be considered good to get a laugh, right?
I was concerned that the nexus of understanding for that potential joke might be too small, but then I was like, everyone fucking knows what goop
everyone
is.
Everyone knows goop.
It's a bad joke.
That joke was so funny. Last time I heard it, I nearly fell off my dinosaur. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
And then my final one, which I think we talked about a teaser trailer a little while ago, but the full trailer came out for Brightburn, which is...
Can you remind me what it's about?
Produced by James Gunn, and it is the idea... So we've seen several Elseworlds versions of Superman. We've seen Superman, what if he crashed to Earth 12 hours later and landed in Soviet Russia? We've seen what if he arrived 9 hours earlier and crashed into Nazi Germany and was raised to become an Übermensch. So this one is produced by James Gunn, not directing or anything like that, but this rural couple, find a baby in a field, having crashed to Earth, and raise it as their own. And the kid doesn't have a good time and turns very quickly.
Oh, no.
Very evil.
Wow. Okay.
So it's the idea of what if someone tried really hard to raise Superman the right way, but at about 11 years old, after being bullied and told no, no, no his whole life, don't do that, you can't do that, you can't let people see. What if he finds out he can't bleed and then can't get hurt and then just ups the ante from there until he becomes a serial killer?
It could really easily happen.
He just becomes an awful serial killer.
unstoppable serial killer.
Oh, and like there's a horrifying moment in this trailer where a woman is terrified in a diner. He makes all the lights go out. She looks up at the one light that flicks on, and he uses his like laser beam vision, whatever, to make the light bulb explode, shatter glass into her eye.
Oh.
And she's running away, and you see from her vision, and half the camera is blurred with blood because this one eye's gone. And you see something move, and she runs into a freezer and like locks the freezer behind her. And then melter cutter line just starts going through the thing. The door gets ripped open, and you see the boy standing 15 meters away from her. And then in the like that clear, he's on her.
God.
That's the end of the trailer.
What's it called again?
Brightburn.
I'm going to go and watch it after this.
Yeah, I'm really amped for this.
Brightburn.
Because this, like, if James Gunn wants to put his finger anywhere near a superhero property, it's probably going to be pretty good, and it's probably going to take a pretty unexpected direction. If you've never seen a film called Super, I highly recommend checking it out. It's Rainn Wilson, a.k.a. Dwight from The Office, basically trying to become a Batman or a Daredevil-style character and really not going about it well.
Okay.
And it ends horribly for everyone.
Including him.
Oh, it's a much more realistic take on what would happen if you tried to become a vigilante.
Mm.
Same way, like, I adore Kick-Ass. That second one gets a bit silly, but the first one where it's, you know, he dresses up and he goes out to try and fight some crime and instead gets the shit beat out of him and run over by a car. And then the only reason he can survive a fight later is because he's full of metal plates.
Wow.
That's what I have. It's that sort of, he just manages to take a very logic thing.
He applies logic to something that shouldn't have logic applied to it and therefore makes it feel like it's part of our world.
Yes. So, Brightburn.
That'd be good.
Coming later this year. Really looking forward to it.
And that's it for you.
That'll do.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right, we will have a look at the Walking Dead season finale at the end of the program in the spoiler section. That'll be after the quiz. But let's have a look at some stuff we've been watching this week.
Have you been busy?
I haven't watched that much. I thought I had, but I'll talk about the movie a little later.
Okay.
Because it's an older one. But I watched Behind the Curve. Now, I'd heard about this one, which was a doco, a Netflix doco about people who believe that the Earth is flat and the year is 2019.
All right, tell me about it.
So do you know what I was a bit worried about?
What?
I was worried because I imagine that some people who believe in stuff like this at one point in time could have been, I don't know, I'm trying to say this really carefully.
Naturally selected out of the gene pool?
Yeah, but at one point in time they must have had similar thoughts that other people, the majority of people have, in that Earth is round because it's been proven that way. But then something has happened, they've read something on the internet, and suddenly they decide something else is 100% true, which is that the Earth is flat. And I was like, oh no, if I watch this, what happens if I get down the rabbit warren of believing crazy stuff? But I didn't in the end. I was just like, oh my gosh.
I was going to have to annul our friendship.
No. I don't think you can have a normal conversation with these people in this documentary.
Sure, flat earthers. Well, they're on the defensive all the time, are they?
The whole time. Mm. And, okay, so there was one. I'm not quite sure where he was. I feel like he was either somewhere like Vancouver or Tacoma or something, a place close to Seattle, right? And he's on a beach. And he goes, look over there. I can see Seattle. And then pulls this face like, case closed. Flat Earth. And you're like, you're not that far away from
it. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. And the one guy I'm talking about, the more I watch this documentary, the more I realize that, yeah, he may be heavily into Flat Earth. But he is even more into the fact that he's a minor celebrity in Flat Earth world.
Sure.
Everybody knows him. He goes to conventions. He has people meet and greeting, you know, have a fan photo session with everyone. He's into it. And I reckon that's the main reason why he's there. He's getting recognition and fame and adoration from people that he wouldn't in any other aspect of his life.
I reckon half the people into Flat Earth are just, they started off with trolling for a joke and then just got a bit into it.
They believed all of it.
Yeah, got into the hype.
Yeah.
The fuck?
They do a little bit of comparing it to The Truman Show.
Sure.
And it's really kind of like that. Like, they believe that there's a big dome and we're all in this.
And it would be interesting Truman Show style to see what they actually believe when the cameras aren't on them and they're trying to get more attention for themselves and their cause.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's worth watching. It was the kind of doco that I'd heard about. I'd heard people discuss it and I went, I'll start it. If I don't finish it all, that's fine. But I watched the whole thing being quite intrigued.
I'm worried that it'd make me angry.
Oh, it's going to make you angry.
You know what I'm like when I get angry? I get punchy.
Yeah, probably best not.
I don't think that's a me one.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to let someone else. Well, I've watched it for you. There you go.
Thank you. Lynn's might enjoy that.
I think Lynn's would like it.
She likes some.
Yeah. She's going to get annoyed by it.
Yeah.
But I think that's the point.
Facts.
I wonder how they feel about it. I'm not interested enough to actively search for their YouTube channels.
Oh, don't, because that's how you get in.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
It's like Scientology. They're going to measure your theta levels, and then all of a sudden you're level four.
Hi, guys, I'm a level four. That's great. I was a level 2 3 weeks ago, but now I've elevated, not elongated.
Elongated, great word. Thanks. Love elongated.
Yeah, totally inappropriate, though. Why? Just not what I meant. Hey, what'd you watch?
Segway! Actually, it's surprising that I say the word segue because in this week's episode of Impractical Jokers, which finally came back for the beginning of season 8/14.5.
Still don't get that.
That's very confusing.
We don't have to, though.
No. So they're back. Their production values look a little glossier. Joe, who's kind of the man behind the curtain who makes it all happen, has a new haircut.
Can you describe it?
Instead of spiked up, it's now combed over because he's a dad. He's a dad.
See, spiked up, there's a point where you've got to stop doing the spiking up because it's not 1999 anymore.
Yeah, and also he's about 45 or so, so it was probably time to try something a bit different. They give him a lot of stick about it all the time. But the reason why I say segue is because the end, the two people, I won't say who, get punished. They both have to go in a monster truck separately and there are cameras on them and the person who cries more gets their shit destroyed by a monster truck.
Oh, no.
And one of them has a couple of segues because who needs more than one? I don't know.
Do they know it's not 2006 anymore?
I don't know.
Okay.
That. And the other one has a custom-made, one-of-a-kind, only-one-in-the-world, Impractical Jokers pinball machine.
You do not tell the other cast members of Impractical Jokers that you've got that.
Well, so here's the thing. Got made by the network for them for an event and then it was housed in the museum because they have a Impractical Jokers museum over in Staten Island.
Oh, you should go and see that.
I want to.
Yeah.
I want to. I'm not sure if it's still on.
Bucket list.
It was there for a while, but they may have moved on by now. Anyway, it was Segway versus pinball machine. This pinball machine had been made for these events and one of them called dibs. And if you've ever seen the show, you know that if someone calls dibs or gets competitive with it, then they win.
No questions asked.
No. So he's had this for years and the others have coveted it and so decided, fuck you, if we can't have it, no one can have it. And so it became who's going to get their thing destroyed, pinball machine or Segway?
Oh, no. The stakes are pretty high.
Yeah, and they still have their after show hosted by Joey Fatone.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's great.
And they went into a lot more depth there about the destruction.
Joey Fatone's done a fair bit with them, hasn't he?
Yes.
On and off.
I've got a lot of time for Fatone. He seems to be, he's ridiculously positive.
I'm pretty sure he hosted a show.
He's hosted a bunch of shows.
Could it have been like Dancing with the Stars or something?
Something along those lines. Yeah. He's done a couple of different reality shows as a host. But I don't know. He's very affable and he's known these guys for quite a long time. And he has a chain of hot dog stands.
Okay.
They're called Joey's.
Taking on Nathan's.
Well, they're called Fat Ones. Fatone.
Ah.
Fat Ones.
Very good. That's good.
And their stuff's supposedly pretty good.
Okay.
Never gotten to try it, but yeah, man of many talents.
Another thing to put on your bucket list.
It was great to have Impractical Jokers back. You know I love that show.
I know you do. You
with Tanked Gone, it was great.
Yes, we really quacked at the principal. Are we ducks or what? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I also watched another thing. I watched this with Tidy, actually. She said, I want to watch one of the Ali Wong stand-ups.
Oh,
on
yeah,
Netflix.
Sure. Yeah.
She said, I've heard they're good. So she
pre or post-pregnancy?
post and current.
Sure.
So it's the second one. I think that one's called Hard Knock Wife, if I recall. The second one is Hard Knock Wife. It's the one. It's the one where she's wearing the animal print as opposed to the stripy dress.
Sure.
I'd only seen a little bit of her in bits and pieces before. You know, kind of like she's on one of the Tonight shows.
Yeah.
You know, you watch a little bit of her on YouTube or Facebook and you have a bit of a giggle. She's really funny. I was really impressed because I was over at Steph's and she said, look, if we don't feel like watching it all, we don't have to. But we watched it all. We just laughed the whole time. She was really good.
Yeah.
If she came out here and I was aware of it in time, I would probably try and get tickets.
Wow, that's a big call.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So she's just really funny. And watch it. Just watch it. If you've got Netflix, just watch it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like I tried to, who was it? I tried to watch one, this is a while ago. And I don't know if I just wasn't in the mood, but I think I've got to be in the mood to watch a stand-up show if it's on television.
Sure.
Like, you know, when you get tickets and you're in the audience, it's completely different. Like that, you're invested, you're ready for it. But you've got to be in the right mood to watch one that's on television. But this one was worth it.
Stand-up, out of almost any art form, stand-up, I feel, is one that demands the attention of the audience more than anything. Because you have to be looking at facial features, you have to be following intonation. There's so much. Someone might just be saying those words, but the way they're delivered is half the joke. And yeah, so I understand completely what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I have to be like, okay, I'm going to watch, you know, new Ron Funches special or Jimmy Carr or something.
Yep.
Especially Jimmy Carr, it is put down distractions.
You can't be on your phone or anything with Jimmy Carr. He is. You've got to immerse yourself in that because the wording, the like you said, the intonations, like
and the callbacks, the fact that they'll set up a joke that's not going to pay off for 15 minutes.
Ballsy.
I love it.
I just think stand-up comedians, there's something about that form of art, because it is, it's art, that is just, they've got so much power.
Yeah. Oh,
because often there's nothing on stage. It's them. There might be a stool where they've got like their bottle of water or something. That's it. And they have got the whole entire audience 100% focused in on them, but also going, we're enjoying your jokes and we'll probably laugh at the next one because we're into it.
Yeah. The stand-ups are a serotonin dispenser.
Amazing. Yeah.
You go to the theatre to experience and see drama or something like that, but you go and see a stand-up, you were there to have stories told to you and feel moved emotionally. And they're going to make you, you're going to walk out going, oh, that was funny. Even if it's something, as an example, Hannah Gadsby Nanette, if it's something that is a tough slog to get through, and by then you're like, wow, that was some stuff.
But far out, were you moved?
Yep.
I mean, obviously the Hannah one is different because it's not what you're expecting, and you finish watching that going, holy cow, that was amazing.
Yep.
Can you imagine being in the audience for that? Meanwhile, I did see an email about a week ago that she's coming back to Opera House. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in Sydney or, you know, if you're planning on coming to Sydney, keep an eye out and see if you can get the tickets.
Yeah.
Be worth it, I reckon. What else did you watch?
Look, I got a few more and I'm just going to bullet point them nice and quick for you. So Tacoma FD, I've mentioned before, is the show with a couple of the guys from Super Troopers as firefighters.
Yeah. How did it go?
Really funny.
Oh, Rick, that's awesome.
Pillboy from Good Place is one of the fellow firefighters, and he's hilarious. He steals every scene he's in.
Similar sort of character or a bit different? Like, is he being Pillboy?
No, he's not being Pillboy. Look, he's super, super naive and very, very good-natured and sweet.
He's
a lot more like Jason
than
straight-up Pillboy. But I really enjoyed that. I already went and bought the season pass for that because, I'm on board with this.
Yeah.
It might only be 6 to 8 episodes. It's nothing. Okay. It's not a huge commitment type thing, but
maybe the second season will be longer.
Yeah, they get a bit more to it. We'll see how we go with that. I saw the pilot of What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, man, I want to see this.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
Okay, because if you've seen the movie, you've basically seen the pilot. They remake a lot of the pilot but with new characters, so it sets storylines up for later in the series of where it'll go.
Mm.
It was awesome. It's really good. I cannot recommend going and checking this out enough.
Oh, I'm so happy.
What We Do in the Shadows.
That.
You've got Kyvan Novak. You've got Matt Berry. There's a lot, like a couple of people through there that you'll recognize from great British comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be wondering why there's an American show that's set in New York starring all these Brits. Well, they explain that very quickly. If these were a couple of vampires dropped off at the beginning of the 18th century who were meant to go and take over the country and never left Staten Island. Like they just stayed at the port, basically. Well, they're like 2 kilometres from where they were dropped off 200 years ago.
Lazy bastards. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so happy that you're wrapped with it because it's one of those shows that I've just been like, oh, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it could go. It could have gone either way. Mm. The guy they've got that playing the familiar, Guimero, is great.
Awesome.
Really put upon, quiet little dude. And there's a few story threads left dangling for where they're going to go later in the season. Cool. It could be a lot of fun.
Oh, great.
Uh-huh. And no sight of any werewolves or swearwolves yet.
Only a matter of time.
Yep.
Hopefully.
They have to. In the film, Rhys Darby from Flight of the Conchords, you know, the manager.
Yeah.
He plays the head of a pack of werewolves. Guys, come on. We're werewolves, not swearwolves. Don't use that sort of language. It's not good.
He's like the quintessential New Zealander. I think the whole world thinks of him as New Zealand. Like,
well, that's why they put him on Wrecked, that Lost show.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just doing bad Kiwi on that.
More ticklish than Elmo. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I will very briefly touch on, I've not watched tons of it, but Get Crackin'. So obviously the two Kates have had various different shows, and this week was the finale of their breakfast format piss take.
Such a great concept, though.
Especially because they can keep taking it and doing different styles of programs.
So easy to make it ridiculous. And also, it's not just Australia that has those morning shows.
Exactly. Anyone can relate.
So it's totally relatable. Yeah.
Well, this episode was very specifically Australian in that the two Kates are highly pregnant at the beginning and have to race off to a hospital to give birth.
Of course they do.
So their two guests that they had on, two Indigenous actors, are asked to step in and take over the show. And what follows, if you've not read this week, what happens? I'm not going to tell you too much about it, except one of the longer shots of a flaccid penis I've seen on the ABC ever. And one of the most biting, race-fueled takedowns of Australian television you'll ever see.
Beautifully worded, you mean? Like
anger.
Oh,
like beautifully worded, but one of the ladies,
she really
breaks.
Okay,
and there's a point where it feels like it stops being acting, and because these two women wrote the episode with the two Kates, and her voice comes through, and it is really upsetting.
Wow.
Yeah, like stops being a comedy completely for about 2 minutes, and then it ends with them going to riot and burn down Sunrise. So.
They end on a high,
I guess. So, yeah, Get Crackin'. Good
Ivy?
Work.
ABC Ivy?
I think so. My notes for it were just Get Crackin'. Jesus. That's all right. And then the last one I'll do for watching.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. What?
No, good. Good.
Oh, right.
Happy. You know I love me some Happy.
Season two
kicked off. Holy.
Well, so. This show, from what you've described, it doesn't.
It doesn't hold back.
No, it will go wherever. But
it feels like season one, they were like, let's do some crazy stuff. And then people loved it. And they're like, okay, let's take a year and a half to prepare for season two and go all out. The first episode back is directed by one of the guys that directed Crank and Crank 2, which have you seen either of them, Jason Statham? Balls to the wall insanity. And they like patented and came up with new camera techniques of strapping cameras to RC cars or setting up a dolly that could be attached when you're rollerblading so you can – like they basically invented a whole new way of moving
filming
cameras.
Yeah.
And a lot of that they've brought over to this show.
Oh, nice.
And there's – I made a few notes because –
Are they as good as your cracking notes?
Better.
Okay.
Here are the three notes I made. Slipping in blood fight. At one point he's trying to stay sober and not hurt anybody anymore and he's promised he won't kill – and some guys are trying to kill him and he's trying to avoid them and they're slipping around in the blood of the first person who died by accident and all the people meet untimely ends. None of it his fault.
Oh, it wasn't my fault.
Then at one point a cyclist rides past him, ding, ding, the bike, because he steps out into a bicycle lane. He's entirely in the wrong, not the bicyclist, but that leads to a minute and a half chainsaw fantasy sequence of him cutting up, decapitating cyclists as they go past. And the cold open is like a 5-minute sequence of suicide bomb nuns attacking an Easter money Easter market.
What?
Because this the show's tagline this year is Mega Make Easter Great Again. And so yeah, the creepy children's entertainer from the first season is aligning himself with the Catholic Church to get them to take a more serious stance on let's commercialize Easter.
Gosh, this is insane!
It's so out there. It is so out there. The bad guy this year is a psychotic serial killer Easter bunny in a gimp suit.
Of course it is.
One eye is pink.
Yeah.
Like a bunny eye.
Oh, yeah, like
it's
the white
so
bunnies.
So unsettling.
Yeah, that would be weird.
It's really off-putting seeing this monkey, like this rabbit gimp with one pink eye. Far out. This show, so good.
It just goes and it's there and beyond.
You will know within 2 minutes of tuning into this show if this is something you would enjoy. And if you don't enjoy it, I hold no ill will against you because it's not an easy watch. But if you like Tarantino or the hardcore funny stuff, this will be right up your alley.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's also doubly weird because Happy, the blue flying unicorn imaginary best friend.
That's the only animated bit, isn't it,
correct?
Right?
So first season, he was the animated, the imaginary friend of the little girl that he was trying to rescue.
Yeah.
Who we learn is actually his daughter.
All right.
And by the end of the season, she's gone through so many traumatic events that it's robbed her of her childhood. She doesn't can't have the imaginary friend anymore.
Aww.
But he is so fucked up and tries to get sober, and it leads him on this quest of innocence. And so the imaginary friend decides to transfer to him but, and like imprints on him. But just being imprinted on him is already changing the unicorn's personality.
Wow.
And the unicorn's starting to swear a little bit.
Okay.
And maybe be interested in drugs and this sort of stuff. So I think this season's going to be a bit more of, can you corrupt the imagination?
I like that.
It's
That's
so
a good
weird.
Concept.
Yeah.
Look, just really quickly, I decided to watch Deepwater Horizon.
Oh, so good. Or, sorry, what did you think?
Oh, I liked it. Yeah. I did. I liked it. Because I didn't know much about the actual story.
Okay.
Based on a true story.
Yes.
My favourite character? John Malkovich, of course.
Of course. What a slimy, conniving, money-driven bastard.
Amazing. Mark Wahlberg, if you haven't seen it before, I was captivated the whole time.
That's the perfect word for it, captivated. I saw it in the States at the cinema, and I went in going, Wahlberg, this will be fine. Peter Berg directing, you know, he always does a very serviceable job. He's not a flashy director. He's the guy you call when you want something done fast and cheap. And he does a great job with those parameters.
I think he did it right as well with this because, I mean, it is based on a real story.
So much of that is CGI.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Well,
they couldn't recreate the whole thing.
Yeah.
But do you know what got me?
What's that?
The bit, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a part where a lot of people are on a boat and there's a roll call. And I went, oh, I know exactly who these names are. These are real people.
Yep.
And that got me. That got me. I was like, you know that shiver down your spine? You're like, whoa.
Yep.
Holy cow. And it's one that you do watch the very end of because that bit is just as good.
Yep.
The real stuff.
Yeah.
Worthwhile.
Yeah. I was really impressed with it. I ended up getting that in 4K. Got that home for watch that in 4K.
Let me know what it looks like.
Mm.
I'm sure it looks spectacular.
I'm sure it's explosive. Boom.
All right, let's get into this quiz before we have a look at the spoiler section, which will be the season finale of season 9
of
The Walking Dead. This is quiz time. Comedians can act too, you know, is what I've called it.
Is that complete with arm cross and head tilt?
Arm cross. Head, yeah, yeah.
Comedians can act too, you know.
That's what I was getting at. So what I'm going to do is instead of giving you a comedian, then you have to say the name of a movie.
Mm.
I can give you a movie and you have to say the name of the comedian or comedians.
Oh, that are involved
that are in
it. Screen.
On screen.
Okay.
On screen. Because there's one that if you do the involved, we'll be here for a while.
Okay.
Mrs. Brown. Not that show. I'm talking about a movie, Mrs. Brown, about Queen Victoria.
Oh, with Billy Connolly, isn't it?
Exactly, Billy Connolly.
And is it with Dame Judy?
Yes, Dame Judy Dench.
I believe there was a poster or something. I remember seeing footage from the Oscars of them riding around the countryside.
That's, I think, all that movie's about
and
their friendship.
That's all I need to know.
What about Planes, Trains and Automobiles? Classic movie.
Oh, I want to say John Candy.
There's one other.
Steve Martin. I thought we were going to go a deeper cut.
Oh, you don't have to go deeper.
Okay, cool, good.
No. We'll go a little harder a little bit later.
All right.
Not really. Man on the Moon.
That's with Jim Carrey playing Andy Kaufman.
So it's a bit of a double up there, that one. But the problem is I can't say the name of that show, movie, because every time I do, I get that R.E.M. song stuck in my head.
Not for me. Hate R.E.M.
It just reminds me of one of my older cousins was so into that song. So whenever I hear that song, I just go straight to that time where he came to visit and he had it probably on cassette tape on repeat. I was just like, oh.
Sure.
I don't even think he watched the movie.
My cousin did that to me with here's Johnny.
Oh, bam, bam, man. Bam, 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 I remember bam, that bam, song. Bam, bam. Far
it's not
out.
A good song.
No.
No.
I'd rather hear Man on the Moon. What about Ghost? I'm talking about people who have done stand-up before. Like, I'm talking actual stand-up comedy.
Do you mean Whoopi Goldberg?
Whoopi Goldberg. Okay. Nice. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, I tried to throw that one in as sort of a, huh?
But she plays a pretty important role in that film.
I was going to go for Colour Purple, but I thought that would be too obvious.
With Oprah?
Yeah, but she's in it
stand-up.
Too. Well, she technically stands up with a microphone.
She does.
Talks about her favourite books. B-movie.
That's Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Because I remember at Cannes, he had to show up and zip line in on a dressed as a bee.
Do not remember that at all. But I remember it was after Seinfeld finished.
Yeah.
Not that long after, but yeah.
It's still 5 years or something after.
Final. Final one. I just want to know the comedians. I almost gave too much away. Who were actually on screen in A Fish Called Wanda.
When you say comedians, are we talking stand-up or comedy people? Because you've got your John Cleese.
Accepted.
Klein is not a comedian.
No.
Jamie Lee Curtis is not a comedian.
No.
Palin is a comedian.
Yes. And you know what?
I'm just going through the cast of Fierce Creatures in my head.
I was going through the cast of Monty Python.
But they're not all in it,
are they? And I had to do research because I was sure, I was convinced, 100% convinced in my head that Eric Idle is in Fish Called Wanda.
Is he?
I looked up the cast. I found an old Chicago Times article from 1989. It was an interview of Eric Idle. And one of the questions, this is why it popped up in my Google search. One of the questions was, why aren't you in A Fish Called Wanda? And he said, well, because I'm at the moment in charge of the company the Monty Python has made that has made Fish Called Wanda. Like, okay, so a lot of the Monty Python people were still involved in A Fish Called Wanda, but yeah, only two of them were in it. Fierce Creatures is where it all gets mixed up, you see.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I've only seen Fierce Creatures once. I've seen A Fish Called Wanda quite a few times, mainly when I was little. I don't know why I watched it when I was a kid, but I did. I watched it again not that long ago. My God, John Cleese is hilarious in that. I know that the your initial hilarity all lies in Kevin Kline, but I think John Cleese.
I'm with you.
Because he's so awkward.
Yeah.
He's so awkward in it. It's a different kind of awkward that you see him in Fawlty Towers. It's a lot dialed down.
Yes, Fawlty Towers is maximum exasperation.
Yeah, that's right. This one is like, oh, I'm trying to be really cool, but I'm terribly English. So much fun. Yeah, that's the end of it.
Good quiz.
A bit of fun. Try and make it a bit different sometimes. Should we get into this Walking Deadness?
Yes.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Season finale. Geez, when I think about this season, we've watched a lot of different stuff. A lot has happened. A lot of different stuff has happened. And this is the first year we've seen snow.
The show's gotten a lot better, hasn't it? It's not just me.
It's a lot better.
It's a lot better.
I think we can say for sure it's obvious that the showrunner has changed.
Yep.
Very obvious. Look, I don't know how much people are involved in, mainly I'd say Twitter, but they talk a lot about her.
Angela Kang.
Yeah.
No,
she's made a big difference.
Look, there have been a few time skips, some reboots. We've lost a couple of people. We've killed a couple of people.
We've had a lot of new people introduced that I didn't think that I would feel enough for. But now I particularly those four that all came. Was that in the first? That was just after Rick. That's just after the time jump. Yeah, we met the new four.
Five?
Oh, there is five. You're sorry, right? Yumiko. Because, yeah, they started off, we only saw... mainly dealt with the four because one of them was injured.
Yes.
And we didn't see... Yeah, sorry, you're right. Absolutely. Five.
I spent all night last night going, where's Luke?
Yeah.
We didn't see the sisters either.
No, we didn't. So where are they? Had they already gone? I can't even remember.
So
Luke was definitely at the kingdom.
Last week, yes. There was some unexplained time jump, maybe a couple of months since the fair or something like that. Kingdom didn't look great. One aerial shot, gee, put out some fires. Holes. Yeah.
Gee. Come on, guys.
Happen quickly. I don't know if we'll go back to the kingdom.
No, I think that I think we've well and truly said goodbye to the kingdom. What I liked is, oh man, I think it might have been the end of the first season, I think, of The Walking Dead, where it starts to get cold. And then when we see the second season, it's warm again.
That's right.
Always jumped over winters.
Was it the end of the season where they were in the CDC and blew it up and outside it was cold?
And they're outside, they're having a walk.
And then we cut to Herschel's farm.
Yeah.
For the next season, yeah. I think. Yeah. But yeah, we've never dealt with snow on Walking Dead proper.
And at first, once the episode started, I went, okay, yeah, we're doing a bit of a winter thing. But then the fun and also the dangers of winter, like the zombies hiding in the snow. I love the frozen zombies. What I really liked was Lydia with the zombie in the frozen lake.
Did you enjoy...
Reminded me of Carl with the zombie stuck in the mud.
Sure. Did you enjoy the Easter egg there of having Carol be the one to find her and stop her?
Yes.
Because that's how Carol kills herself in the comics, is death by... or suicide by Walker.
Yeah, yeah. And I did see an article about that.
I really appreciated that.
But also for people who wouldn't have known that, what I enjoyed was we're starting to see Carol do the Carol mother thing.
Yep.
To the girl that she could easily be blaming the death of Henry on.
Or have killed. Was that Rick's bridge?
Oh, geez.
Because they were standing in something that was destroyed.
Maybe.
Might have been. Maybe I'm...
If they hoping. Did, they didn't make a big enough mention of it for us.
I thought it was a bit odd that at this point, we're probably 10 years into the zombie apocalypse, right? How come all these people are acting like they'd never seen a frozen zombie?
Yeah, I know. It's 10 years. Just because the audience haven't seen.
Now, I know that cold was meant to be... So it very rarely snows down in Atlanta where the show's set, all this sort of stuff. So I can see where they're coming from. They might not have dealt with it too much to this point.
I wouldn't be very good.
And the cold?
No.
Nah.
Be terrible.
Nah. Not like Negan.
Nah, he was into it. He's like, I've got to go get the dog and the kid.
I told you last week that we're going to find a way to set it up for next season that he's in the good. There you go.
And just having a read through some tweets over the past 24, 48 hours, I've noticed a lot of people are like, oh, I hope that this has redeemed Negan. I hope that Alexandria will accept Negan. All that sort of stuff. So it worked.
Do you think Negan keeps making the awkward foursome joke to Rosita and the three guys because he wants in?
Maybe.
You know, he comes, we know he likes
a
harem.
We know what he's up to, yeah.
We know he likes having a few women. Maybe he's ready to try the other way around.
He's been locked up in that cell for quite a few years now. So, yeah, maybe he is into it. I'm just wondering now what we'll see. How much of Rick's world will we see before The Walking Dead comes back? Surely we have to see at least a trailer or something before that happens.
Of his movies?
Yeah.
I don't think they've even started production yet.
Well, I'm just wondering, we've had a few, like you've got Dwight, you've got Morgan going over to Fear the Walking Dead. Mm. We're obviously going to have, what's Polly's name in...
Pollyanna McIntosh.
Yeah, what's her character's name?
Jado.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see her
and
we'll see Rick in the Rick movies. Are we going to see any other sort of crossover in Rick's world? Is someone who Maggie's been hanging out with going to appear in Rick's world? I don't know. There has to be some sort of crossover, surely.
I think there's a bit of groundwork being laid. One,
yeah.
We heard that radio turn at the end. I'm amazed they've gotten to this that quickly.
That happened fast?
I was telling you in the comics that takes a long time to get to. People are speculating. Is it Rick? Is it where Rick is? Is it Maggie? Is it where Maggie is? If Maggie's at a place called the Commonwealth, then maybe it is.
Mm.
I think Commonwealth could be where they're heading to next year, but it could just be that they're going to stretch that out with Eugene for a long time and pad that while they deal with the Whisperers. Because the Commonwealth is the storyline they're still dealing with in the comics at the moment, but it's a city. It's 50,000 people, and they're living in this weird, fucked up, not democracy. I don't even know what you call it, but there's like a really entitled political woman in charge, and her son is an absolute shit. Has to be protected by royal guard at all times. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's the Joffrey of...
So, perfect. Perfect. Okay. He is the Joffrey. He's a horrible little shit. I don't know. I think that's set up really nicely for later. We know that there's another Walking Dead spin-off show coming. I think...
We don't know too much about that
There's
one.
Nothing we know about. I have a feeling that is going to tie closer to the films. If we don't know too much about the films yet, perhaps the films are setting up a shadowy government agency that managed to remain running.
Hmm.
What I kind of would love is if we cut back to Rick and they fly half an hour or something like that, land and everything's cool, and they're like, oh, you're from... We walled that off.
Yeah, that's...
That place was really unpleasant. So we just... Wait, you've all gone primitive. Ooh.
You went rogue, guys.
Oh, boy. Or just... You know, go to Canada, where the freezing cold would have frozen all zombies years ago. You could destroy them all and...
Oh, no, we don't have that problem, eh?
Yeah.
Sorry if you're Canadian.
Eh?
I mean, sorry.
Hey, don't complain. You got Drake.
Yeah? Who else do you have?
Ryan Reynolds.
Jason Priestley. Michael J. Fox. Pamela Anderson.
Justin
Celine Dion.
Bieber.
What's Avril Lavigne? Lance Morissette,
Tegan and Sarah, Chad Kroeger.
Oh, yeah, Paddle Pop Lion. And
Matchbox 20, are they Canadian? No, they might be American.
No.
Sorry, Rob Thomas, didn't mean to slander your name.
I mean, sorry, Canada, you didn't mean to.
Either way, Rob Thomas comes out smooth. Hang on a second. It's my cherry 7-up moment, friends.
You like it?
Import.
It's working for you.
Yeah, I think that... Daryl said some things.
Yeah.
He's speaking clearer.
He's not allowed to speak to Carol anymore because Ezekiel is feeling a bit of marriage strain, and there's a reason for that. We saw at the end.
Yeah, in the moment you're like, Ezekiel, don't be a dick. But then by the end you're like, oh, poor guy, he's just... Dealing with this any way he can. And
she's lighting up.
Well, I'm sure from the way he looks at things, the only time Carol gets really bad is when she's looking at Daryl or Lydia and remembers stuff. So he's kind of coming from a really good place of being like, we need to heal. Can you all just fuck off a bit?
To be honest with you, I think the way he told that to Daryl, I thought it was totally reasonable.
Especially
he explained it.
That last moment when he drops the King Act, when you know, you can almost tell like he's feeling guilty for asking this.
He's only done that to Carol.
Yeah. I've just like, I don't want to be the bad guy, man. Or yep. He just drops it and says that. And oh, my heart broke a little bit.
Yeah. I got a lot of time for Ezekiel. And I like the fact that he's feeling lost in this world. And as an audience member, I appreciate that. Because that man should not be there because of what happened in the comic.
100%. That's what it's not throwing me, but that's got me questioning of what they're going to do with him next, because he's not meant to be there. He's not with Carol. Carol's not meant to be there. He's such a, you know, X factor now of where they take his character from here on out.
They could do so much with him, and I hope that with, you know, the new fresh blood that's in The Walking Dead, I hope that we can get something really amazing from it.
I am disappointed that he didn't go to Alexandria with the rest, because I feel that he and Negan could end up having quite the partnership. They both had fallen kingdoms. They're both put on a character and acted for acolytes. And they're
both
very, very interesting guys who only show what they want everyone else to see.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I think there could be some really nice power play later.
I'm sure we'll get to see that. I hope so. I hope they don't miss that opportunity. I don't think so, because Negan did say something.
Negan's out. Negan's good. I also read that Michonne may not die, may not go properly, that it might just be a much shorter involvement.
Just backing off a bit.
Well, and rather than being in every episode, maybe she appears every third episode and she's going to get one or two Michonne-heavy episodes throughout the season.
I'm happy with that.
She's busy with Avengers and her plays and being a huge international star.
Exactly. Did you see that dress she was in recently? What the hell? How can someone look that good?
Effort.
And her hair. Oh, my God. It was amazing.
She scrubs up.
She so scrubs up. Compared must to be, that Michonne wig, my goodness.
I was going
to
say, it must be pretty tough shaving that hair anytime you want to go out and then growing it back overnight.
I know. She's magic, right?
Oh, no wonder she shaved one side.
All right, I think that's going to do it for The Walking Dead chatter, and if we hear any news stuff, of course we'll bring it to you. But in the meantime, do you want to go have a lie down now?
From the actual government.